celebrate Jesus because there is power in his name. Amen. Pray with me. Jesus, we celebrate you. We lift high your name because we know that scripture says when we lift you high, people are drawn in. We know that in your name there is power, that in your name the darkness runs. In your name, the enemy shakes. Lord, in your name, we find healing. In your name, we find life. So we pray your name. We speak your name over kids today, over teenagers today, young adults, senior citizens, moms, families, those with addictions, those who need to surrender your life. Lord, we speak your name over everything because we know in your name there is life. And there is power, and there is healing. In your name, amen. Amen. Well, Rock Church, how's everybody doing today? You guys good? Good to see everybody. We're glad that everybody is here at our 11:30. Just a great group of you. If you're new with us, I want to take just a second and welcome you. My name is Josh, and this is my lovely wife, Krista. So I'd like to welcome her to the stage today. And I'm really glad you're with us. Again, if you're new with us, man, we want you to get connected. Use that QR code in front of you or stop by the Connect wall on your way out, as we'd love to get connected with you and just welcome you here to The Rock, all right? And it's Mother's Day, so I want to acknowledge that. Yeah.
Happy Mother's Day, everybody out there. If you're a mother, or even better, if you're a grandma, Gigi or Mimi, that takes it to another level. Happy Mother's Day to you out there. Also, I just want to recognize that this may not be the easiest day for some people. If you're struggling with infertility, or maybe you've lost a child, or maybe you just haven't had the chance to experience motherhood yet, Mother's Day can be hard for you. I just want you to know we see you. We feel for you, and just go to Jesus for some peace. But we love you, and yeah, we recognize that today can be hard.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So there's a day of celebration, and can be a tough day. Well, let's continue with this Mother's Day theme, and let's just thank some moms for a second. The way I'd like to do this is we've got some thank you cards, and if you were with us last week, you know that we started a new series, and part of that is just doing some thank you cards each week. And so here's some thank you cards to moms. See if this maybe makes sense for you as well. Thank you, moms, for showing us that multitasking isn't just a skill, it's a superpower. Who knew one could fold laundry, help with homework, cook dinner, and answer questions simultaneously? Well done, moms.
Thank you, moms, for teaching us that my car isn't just a vehicle, but a mobile museum of school projects, lots of sports equipment, forgotten fast food toys, maybe a French fry here or there. Who needs a clean and empty car when you have a treasure trove on wheels?
There you go. How many of y'all have that vehicle right now? You know exactly what we're saying, right? You got it? All right, here's another one. Thank you, moms, for reminding us that a mom's intuition isn't just a feeling. It's your sixth sense. Navigating the ups and downs of parenting with a blend of wisdom, love, and a touch of discernment from the Holy Spirit, right? So thank you, moms, for that.
Thank you, moms, for showing us that my ability to find lost items is not just luck, it's a detective skill honed by years of retrieving toys, socks, and homework from the strangest places. And just a side note here, if you are a dad or a male, try looking for it first before you come to us asking where it is. Just a little tip.
Guilty? Any other men guilty with me on that one? You know exactly. It's just easier, right? Because you know where it's at. And we're not going to look in your purse because that thing scares us. Which is my next thank you reminder, thank you card. Thank you, moms, for reminding us that a mom's purse is not just a bag. It's a survival kit. Snacks, tissues, toys, a mini pharmacy, all magically fitting into a space that defies the laws of physics. So thank you, moms, for all you do. And thank you for the wisdom that you do have. Yeah.
Absolutely. We had a lot of moms who put out some advice and tips on our social media at The Rock. So this week, while you're kind of scrolling through, maybe checking out Instagram or Facebook or whatever, TikTok, check out The Rock's social media, and you can see a lot of good advice and wisdom from some amazing women that go to this church. I know you'll be blessed if you check that out.
Yeah.
One thing if I could write a letter back to my young self, one thing that I would definitely tell myself is that we're better together and that you can't do life alone. I think when I was a first-time mom, I thought I had to figure everything out, how to balance work and raising a child and being a good wife and being a good friend, and I had to figure it out on my own. And if I could look back on that time, I would have asked for assistance more. I would have gone to the people in my life and used them greater than I did back when I was young.
Yeah.
And it talks about that in Ecclesiastes, which we're going to talk about.
Yeah, what we're doing, we're looking at the book of Ecclesiastes, and in it we're seeing, just this idea of being better together. If you were here last week, we talked about Solomon was older and he was writing a letter, and it's especially important for us that if we're younger, we could take some of the thoughts of this book and put it into our life now. Last week we said chase daylight, which means make the most of every situation. This week we're saying be better together, to do life with others, because that will help you. This is what he had to say. He said, why don't you read it?
Okay. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken.
Yeah, so what we see in this passage is this idea that we're better together. And I want to encourage us all that way. And obviously, we're going to talk about it from a husband and wife perspective. But I don't want you to think of it just... I don't want you to think of it just in that perspective. That obviously, if you're married, it's great advice, better together. But this also goes, maybe you're single, you could be thinking about this like with a friend, I'm better together. In your family, we're better together. And that could be siblings, that could be sibling towards parents, that can be towards your grandparents, that it works in a team concept, that maybe you're an athlete, you talk about it as a team, or maybe in your neighborhood, we're better together. We have to have people in our lives, is what Solomon tells us. And he actually shows us why. He says, here's four reasons why you're better together. The first one was in verse 9. It says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. Like, success can be found just simply by making sure you're not doing it alone. So maybe I could say it this way, that we're better together because it produces success.
That's right. And you can see that in the movies. You can see that in history. I mean, if you look at Batman and Robin, able to solve more crime together. Sherlock Holmes, Dr. Watson, they were able to solve more cases. Peyton Manning, Marvin Harrison, able to score more touchdowns.
Let's go.
Pippen and Jordan were able to score more baskets. In the Bible, Mary and Joseph, it talked about how God called them to raise Jesus, to raise their family together. They could not have done it if each hadn't been doing their part and working together. If you look at Paul, all through the Bible, Paul was never alone. Either have Silas with him or Timothy or Barnabas. He knew that to be successful, he needed to have somebody working together with him. And so I think that's really important for us to realize as we're trying to be successful as well in our relationships and in trying to figure out life, is that we're definitely better together. And one way is doing a lot of teamwork or synergy. I was a principal in Quincy, Illinois for a little while before we moved. And one of the things that we taught our kids were the seven habits of highly effective people. And one of those is synergy. And synergy, it's just working together so that you can create something that is better than either one could do alone.
That's right.
And I think when you talk about doing life, when you talk about raising a family, having a career, doing sports, any of those things, if you have somebody doing that with you, you're going to be more successful. I know when we first got married, one of the things that we talked about is that we wanted to be a team and we wanted to make sure that we were united and had the same goals in life. So we talked about we really wanted to live a meaningful life that was really grounded in faith, and that we would work together to serve a greater purpose than ourselves. And what we kind of came up with was we always wanted to be kingdom-minded. So that's kind of been our foundation of our marriage and our decision-making is what are we doing to be kingdom-minded? If we're trying to make a decision about our budget, how can we be kingdom-minded? If we're making a decision about our career, how can we be kingdom-minded? If how we're raising our kids, we want them to be kingdom-minded, but how do we do that? And so I think having those same goals that we're driving towards, going forward towards, really helped us to work on the success of our marriage and in our life together. Another thing that I think to be successful is you have to have somebody who can problem solve with you. Mm-hmm. You have to have somebody that maybe has different experiences or a different perspective or different expertise than yourself. I know moms out there, how many decisions and problems do we have to like solve during the day? Like tons, especially when they're little. Questions, problems. One that I would really like to ban is I am a school principal right now, and I make a million decisions, solve a million problems during the day. And then when I get home, you know the very first question that I get asked? What's for dinner? It drives me crazy. I would like to ban that from our family. I don't care what we're eating. I don't know. And there's some really good moms out there who have meal planned, who have prepped on Sunday and have it all together. I was never that person, so I could probably learn from their expertise. But when you're problem solving, you definitely need somebody who can give you advice, who has your best interest at heart. You need somebody that will make you look outward, not inward. If we're going to be kingdom-minded and be about being faithful, then when we're problem-solving, we need to kind of look beyond ourselves and look at the bigger picture, and we need somebody in our lives who will definitely do that. We need somebody, when we have all these options in front of us, who will, with discernment, help us figure out which is the best one for our family, for ourselves, for the kingdom. And really, we need somebody who will just listen. Josh is a big golfer. I don't know if you all know that. Big golfer.
I enjoy.
This week, he got to play in the Myrtle Beach Classic Pro-Am, so that was very exciting for him.
It was an exciting day.
Yeah, and so he came home, was so excited about the experience, and then we sat down and we proceeded to go hole by hole on how he could do better.
If you're a golfer, any golfers out there, you talk about your golf game after you play it, right? You have to talk about it. It's just part of it.
And the hole number one, had I hit it a little bit to the left, it would have been set up a chip shot that would have been so much better, and I could have scored da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, being a good wife that I am, I just listen and go, yeah, oh, man, you're kidding. And then what happened on 18th?
We can move on to accountability or something. We don't need to talk about 18. Oh!
18 we talked about for a really long time.
It was the best golf hole in my life and the worst in the same moment.
He stepped up and he said, Krista, it was beautiful. I looked. I had to stop and take a picture. There's a lake out there. You had to hit it over the lake onto the green. And
People watching.
It was fantastic. And I stepped up and I hit it and I topped it. I don't even know what that means. I topped it, and it went into the water, and the golf pro booed me.
He literally did. He booed me, which then made the hole even better. So, yes.
So, anyway. He had a great day, but I listened to each hole and helped him figure out how if he ever had that opportunity again, he could do better. But you also need somebody who will pray with you and take your heart and your concerns to the Lord on your behalf. And you need somebody that will keep you focused on the important piece of the problem or decision that you're making. Not too long ago, I was trying to make a decision. It didn't go the way I had in my mind planned for it to go. And I was kind of a little like about it afterwards. And finally, Josh said, "Hey, Krista, I haven't heard you say once, what's God's plan for that? When does God want that to happen for you? Where does God want you to be? What's God's timing about when you're talking about that?" And that really made me take a step back and go, "Ooh, gosh, you're right. I've got to refocus myself and think correctly." The other thing about success is you have to have somebody to keep you accountable. Mm-hmm. You got to keep moving forward in life. And it's really easy to quit on things when you're alone. I mean, if you think about dieting, Josh and I have probably started a million and one diets. But if one of us attempts to do it alone, it is guaranteed fail. We have to be on the same page moving forward. Same with working out. You need that accountability partner who will say, "I'm going to be at the gym with you. I'll be there at such and such time." It makes it harder for you to quit. Life is the same way. You can give up easy on life if you don't have somebody with you holding you accountable. Mm-hmm. And they can do that in a variety of ways. They can nudge you when you need to be nudged. They can say, "You need to get back at it. You need to keep moving forward." They can definitely cheer you on when it's not going really well. When you're feeling overwhelmed and you don't know if you're going to be able to keep going forward, they can encourage you and be that cheering you person that's like, "You got this, keep moving forward." They can definitely pray for you and say, "You know, Jesus, I know that she's got this goal. I want to be the best partner I can for her and help her achieve this." Yeah. So holding each other accountable in life and faith and all aspects is really important that you have a partner that'll do that with you.
Yeah.
And in Galatians it says...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it says, "If another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back on the right path." That verse is accountability. I want to focus on a couple things. One, it says gently and humbly. We're not talking about judgmental here. We're talking about from a humble spirit. I have somebody. I care about them. I want to help them get back on the right path. So maybe it's sin. Maybe there's a sinful decision they're making and you go, "Hey, I want to help you. I want to hold you accountable here." Or maybe it's just a bad decision they're making. Not a sinful decision, but just the wrong decision. I can gently and humbly help that person get back on path onto God's will in their life. It goes on, it says, "Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ." Proverbs says, "Walk with the wise and become wise, associate with fools and get in trouble." So we need people in our life who can hold us accountable, but we need to make sure that that is wise people and godly people, because they're going to point us down the right path. So bottom line is, we are better together because it produces success, but it also provides warmth. That I want you to think about this. Like, we have a dog. We've had him for 13, 14 years. He's an itty bitty dog, Humane Society type rescue dog. And he is always shivering, like cold all the time. And so anytime somebody's home, he's jumping up in your lap because he wants to get warm. Now, part of me feels a little bit like that dog, because the older I get, the colder I am all the time. I don't know if that's anybody else, but for me, I'm always looking for jackets and sweatshirts. But that is also what we see that in Scripture. Solomon said it. He said, "Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm." But how can one be warm alone? That when we are together, that physically you can help each other get warm. That I mean, he's talking about it just, you know, drawing in close to one another. And that is true. Now, which that tells me some of you guys tonight are going to look at your ladies and be like, "I'm cold. Why don't you snuggle on in? I'm helping y'all," okay? But it's not just physical. It's also emotional. That you need people in your life who can bring warmth into the relationship from an emotional level. Because there's times in life where it's difficult. There's times in life where crisis hits. There's times in life when you get called in the boss's office, that the bank account doesn't look good, the doctor calls, and you're like, man, I need somebody to add some warmth, some compassion into my life. We see that in 2 Corinthians. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. That let me break that down and make it real simple. That God comforts us, that God helps us so that we can then comfort other people in our life. And I'm going to talk about the comfort from God at the end of the message, but for now, I want you to see this, that we have the ability to add warmth, to add comfort into one another's life. And again, that might be a spouse, it might be friends, it might be family members. That we see it in Job's life, that Job, when he was going through hardship, it said that his three friends came over to comfort him in his time of need. That we are better together because we can provide warmth of comfort. It produces success. It provides warmth. Another thing it does is it protects in unity.
That's right. And do I have any mama bears out here? You feel like you're a mama bear? As a principal, I talk to a lot of mama bears out there, a few papa bears too. I know there's a lot of mama bears out in the wild and out in the world, and we need those mama bears because they kind of are the unit that holds our families together. They are kind of the thermometer. They help us like keep together. The moms become the family's people. And one of the way they do this is through shared experiences. And shared experiences doesn't have to be anything big. It's those little moments in life that you continually talk about year after year that your family laughs together. They're created when you have dinner together and something happens, or when you're out playing in the yard and something happens, or something crazy happens on vacation. I know we went to... on a vacation one time, and we stopped at Burger King. We had all four kids. And
wait, I got to preface this.
Okay.
This would have been 20-plus years
ago. Definitely. Yeah. So the kids go up, and they make their order. I make my order. Josh orders his order. And the lady says, that'll be like $42.38. And Josh, at the top of his lungs, goes, $42! All my kids just immediately, like, turn, walk away. Everybody's like... And still today, like our family, if something happens, we'll go $42.
Yeah.
Now that would seem cheap.
Now I'd be like $42. What happened? You forget a button.
Good.
But 20 years ago, that was a lot of money. Yeah.
Another like shared experience our family has, for some reason, our family, especially my two girls and Josh, they like to tease and make fun of me. It's disheartening, I know, but they really do. Look at him laugh. It's so true.
You make it easy.
I know. So Josh and I solve a lot of the world's problems when we're taking car trips, talking.
What she means, she solves a lot of my problems when we're
taking
sometimes.
Car trips. Or we take walks on the beach and, you know, we can figure things out. So if you ever have something like huge you got to figure out, just give us a text and we'll take a walk or take a drive and maybe try to figure it out. But one day we were walking on the beach, having a lovely time, and I noticed up in front of me there's this huge hole. It's like 4 feet deep, and I'm like, man, look at that hole. It's huge. Somebody took a lot of time to dig that hole, and I'm like, hey, babe, be careful. Don't fall in that hole. And the next thing you know, I'm in the hole. I don't know how it happened.
I didn't push her, I promise,
no.
Okay? It wasn't me.
And so I'm in the hole, and I look up, you know, thinking Josh is going to help me out. There's no Josh. Josh is continuing to walk on down the beach, acting like he don't know who I am.
True.
And his back is shaking so much from laughing. And he immediately calls Abby and Mackenzie, and is like, you'll never believe what Bob did. She's in a hole. And do you remember when we started this sermon where Ecclesiastes said you had to have somebody, if you fall, they will help you up. If you are alone, you're in real trouble. I was alone in that hole.
Yes, you were. I I confess, you're right. But she had just said, be careful, there's a big hole, don't fall in it. So we walk around it and she just falls. I'm like, how?
I don't know how it happened either. But it's a shared experience, so we laugh about it still today. And I think those moments that we have together, that they bond us. So whether something happens that's funny, or you go through a tragedy, or you go through a hard time, or you go through a move, those are the times that you are bonded together as a family. And I think that the mom is the one that kind of holds all that together. So we want definitely to be bonded together through those shared experiences. And one of my favorite shared experiences in the Bible is the story of Ruth and Naomi. It's a wonderful story. If you check out the book of Ruth in the Bible, it's kind of like a Hallmark movie, I think, once you read it. It's just a great story. But Naomi and her husband had two sons. They were living in Judah, and there was a famine, so they had to move. They had to leave, and they went to Moab. When they got to Moab, the two sons met two ladies, got married. Life was going well. Then tragedy struck, and they lost all three husbands. So at that point, they had to make some decisions. Orpah decided to go back to her people, but Ruth said, I'm going to stay with you, Naomi. And Ruth said to Naomi, where you go, I'll go. Where you lodge, I'll lodge. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I'll die and be buried. If, as we go, as we move forward, if you ask me to return, I will stay with you. And when I read that, I think, my goodness, can you imagine what a faithful lady Naomi must have been? Mm-hmm. She must have been such a special person that Ruth, even though they weren't connected, had lost her husband, she said, I see something in you that I want you to be my people, and I'm going to stay with you forever, and I'm going to follow you forever. And the two of them had such a great relationship, and sometimes Ruth helped out Naomi, and sometimes Naomi helped out Ruth, but they're the epitome of having a shared experience and creating that bond that's for life.
Yeah, it's just the incredible unity. And there was one other aspect of their unity is that Ruth said, your God will be my God. And that's the final point I really want to point us towards, that we see in the scripture, that it says that that it'll be propelled through Christ. Here's the verse. It says, there are even three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. That what Solomon is trying to say is, he's saying you're going to be better together because it's going to produce success. You're going to be better together because it's going to provide warmth. You're going to be better together because it's going to protect in unity. But you're going to be better together when you have a third strand. For Ruth and Naomi, that was God, that they brought God into the relationship. For us, it is Christ, all right? Christ, who is our God, that when we bring Jesus into our relationship, we're better. That's just the bottom line. Now, we can be successful together, but add Christ and that success goes exponential. That we can provide warmth, emotional warmth for one another, but through Christ, it's exponential. Remember, it is Christ who comforts us, and with Christ comforting us, then we can comfort one another. That we can be unified, but when we bring Christ in it, he is the one who really blesses through unity. So my challenge to us, that we have to keep this in mind at all time, that we need to keep this in mind at all time, is that we've got to make sure that every relationship we have, that we try to bring Christ into it. Because Christ is the one who's going to propel it. Christ is the one that is going to exponentially bring success and warmth and unity. So bring Christ into that relationship, which means first, bring Christ into your life. And you might be here today and maybe you've never surrendered to Jesus before in your life, Let me say something right now that I know Krista would agree with and many of you would agree with. Your life will be exponentially better if you invite Christ into it. It's just true. Does it mean you won't have hardship? No, you'll still have hardship. He promised we will have troubles. Yet, through Christ, he will help you handle them. So I want to challenge you today that if you've never surrendered to Jesus, today's the day. Life can be better to get today because it can be together with him. And you know, we had these kids up here and we were praying earlier. And what I loved about that prayer is those were parents. Those were family members saying, we want to make sure Christ is a part of our relationship. Christ is part of our family and Christ is part of my kids' life. And we prayed over those kids that one day they would take that step of faith. One day they would respond to Christ and ask for forgiveness. That one day they would take a step of baptism. Which means maybe today is the day that somebody has been praying for you for years. That today would be the day that you would say, I'm ready to surrender. And I want to challenge you, if today's your day, you've never surrendered to Jesus before, but you're ready to today, then I want to invite you to pray and to tell God you're sorry and to ask him to be your Savior. But I'm going to ask you to not just say that prayer by yourself. It's possible you can do that, but we've been saying it's better together, so pray that prayer with somebody else. Grab somebody close to you who's sitting by you and say, hey, I need to pray that prayer. I need to ask Jesus to be my Savior. Or go back to the Connect Corner right back there and pray with one of our prayer counselors and say, I need somebody to pray with me about this because I'm ready to surrender to Jesus. Or maybe you're like Brooke who got baptized just a little bit ago, that maybe you're ready to take that step of baptism. Here's what I love about baptism. You can't get baptized by yourself. That you can't just walk in the water and dunk yourself. That's not how it works. When you get baptized, you're saying, I'm putting on Christ. So you're together there, and then there's always somebody lowering you down into that water. You do it together. Or maybe for you today is the day to come up and take communion. Which communion, it's something Jesus instituted. It's just a cup of juice and a little piece of bread. But it represents him. So every time you take communion, you're never doing it alone. What you're actually doing is you're communing with Jesus. You're connecting with him. And what I love about communion here at the church is we often do it in community. That we often grab our spouse or grab a friend or grab our family and we come up and take communion together. That life is better together. So I want to invite you to step into that life today. So why don't you do me a favor? Let's stand up together and we're going to go into this time of response. And again, if it's a time that you need to surrender, surrender. If it's a time that you need to be reminded of the value of community, allow the Holy Spirit to remind you that. If it's a time where you want to put your arm around somebody next to you and say, thank you for being together with me, do that. If you need people in your life, stop by the Connect Wall because we've got groups and ministries. We don't want you walking through life alone. Why don't you pray with me? Jesus, we come before you. I thank you for the people that you bring into our lives. And I'm thankful that you are a part of us. Lord, because we know it's better with you and it's better with others. We don't need to do life alone. And you made it so we don't have to. So we make room for you right now, Jesus. And room for others as well. In your name, amen. Let's spend some time responding.